Okay, welcome back. Don't adjust your TV sets. It's me again. And you have to be a little bit older to remember going and adjusting the knobs on the TV set and stuff like that. And then if you're a kid and you're a mom or dad before the remotes, you were the remote, right? Or the one that held the hanger on the back of the antenna there to try to get it to look just right, you know. So, all right. So it is an extreme privilege to be sharing with you this morning. I shared in Sunday school a little bit that I was on a trip this week, actually up in some of the New England states there in Maine and Connecticut, Rhode Island. They're doing a tech training for one of our biggest customers. And so I had two classes that I conducted, the same class, but I just did it twice for about 17 different techs in two different locations there. But this, coming here and sharing with you and sharing with the Word, this is the highlight of the week for sure. And that I did, when I was out there, it was nice, to be out there in that, but it's also very, very good to be back here with you this morning. So this morning I want to work on a phrase, and we're going to take just a few minutes here this morning and kind of work on this phrase, out on a limb. What do I mean when I say that? What do you think of right away when somebody says they're out on a limb? It could be. What are we talking about, right? Sometimes you find yourself out on a limb. Usually you're going out there yourself, right? It's usually because we've taken that leap of faith, if it were. And usually when we say we're going out on a limb there, that it can be a scary place to be. It can be a lonely place to be, but it can also be a fulfilling place, I think, to be. We use the term going out on a limb, or somebody is out on a limb. Usually means somebody has taken, it also mean, you know, could mean that somebody has taken a great risk and you've weighed out things in your life, or you have a conviction of this or that, or you want to venture out, let's say, and you want to start something or do something. And so by faith, usually, we can go out on a limb for that or crawl out there or whatever. It can be very vulnerable at times. Going out on them can be vulnerable because usually you're out there by yourself. You've went out there. It can be awkward out there, but you've taken a position. You've worked on a position. You've made it your desire to do so. And so when we think about another thing, I think, you know, when we think about going out on a limb, and usually, again, I've already said this, but you're probably by yourself and you're uncompromising. That's where you've taken that risk. You've taken that stand and you've went out there uncompromising. It's all you when you're out on a limb, right? On something. It could be risky. It could be doing something you strongly believe in. And even extreme, if it were. Others may consider it, because we use the phrase, right, when we see maybe somebody taking on something or going off to an adventure, or we say, you know, we say that they're going out on a limb for that. But in most cases, it's risk takers looking for something, or someone stand on a conviction and doing that. So, this morning, I want to look at three men in the Bible that were out on a limb, or went out on a limb or found himself out on a limb. And for two of these guys, it didn't work out very well. But for one, there was a great reward in it itself. And you all know the stories and that. And so I want to set the stage for some of this. So I'm going to need a volunteer this morning. And Austin Snyder, would you come up and share with us this morning and just kind of come up on stage here? And he's going to join us here. This good here. Man, he's as big as a tree, isn't he? Yeah? Yeah, I mean, look at this guy. Okay, so if we think of Austin as a tree, okay, let's look at this. And so what do we call the main, and we do this in medical terms, right? What do we call this main part of our body? The trunk, right? And what do we call the arms and the legs? Branches or limbs, right? Limbs. So we gotta make you a tree. Okay, so maybe your left hand, on your hip there, and your right arm out. Get kind of spread it out there. Yeah, right there. Turn your hand down a little bit. See how flexible this tree is. Kind of just move to the side there a couple. No. Your body. Kind of. Yeah, a couple more times. I'm a little teapot. Sure. Oh, no, I'm sorry. All right, that's right. Wrong sermon illustration. I got them mixed up there. But go back to your tree thing there. Yeah, just one hand. Yeah, we got a limb. He's got a limb hanging out there. And we think about it for a minute. Where's the strongest part of the limb? Clear out here? Or is it here? Right? The strongest part of the limb is going to be the closest to the trunk. Jesus would use this same illustration, right, in the New Testament where you say, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And we want to stay close to that. So if I were going to try to, strong tree there, so if I were going to try to hang, right, I don't think this tree, any tree is going to carry this mass. So I might get another volunteer. Young Mr. Colton, would you come up? All right. A little more here. So, we're just kind of looking at our tree here. Now you put your hand. No, you don't have to do it. So, can you hang on this branch, you think? Right here close to the trunk. Can you hang there? Look at that. All right, there we go. Okay, so, would we say put your hands back up there again? Hang there a minute. Yeah, okay. Not a minute, just okay. So where is it strongest? Right here, there. So would you say, get back up. So would you say if you came out on a limb, could it hold you? Well, let's see. Maybe you're like, no, not, okay, oh, here we go. See, oh, man. But the strength is closest to the trunk, right? And so can we venture out and be too much? And can we take on too much? Can we go venture out on a limb and be too much? So, yeah, our weight of our convictions, could put us in a position that's vulnerable. Not saying we shouldn't go out on a limb or whatever, but, yeah, don't hurt the tree, whatever we do here. So, okay. So, all right. Thank you, gentlemen. Give them a big hand here. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I might need my tree again later. I will need my tree later. Just try to put that in our minds about that. So the first guy I want to look at being out on a limb, I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're not going to read all the verses here, but you're going to find his story in 2 Samuel verses 13 through 9, or chapters 13 through 19. And it's a story about Absalom. And so we're going to look at Absalom here. Absalom was David's, third child, your third son, so to speak, I guess. But and his mother, David had multiple wives, was Maacah or Maacah, M-A-A-C-H. I don't know exactly how to say that, but and Absalom had one full sister, it seems like, and her name was Tamar. So we kind of pick up this story in chapter 13, and 2 Samuel 13, and being introduced to this man named Absalom here. And it does say, it makes a point, that Tamar was very beautiful. And then we're going to get see also what the Bible says about Absalom here in a few minutes. But she was very beautiful. Now, they had a half-brother named Amnon. And so Amnon lusted after Tamar, because it says that she was very beautiful. Amnon doesn't control it. Doesn't control that, and eventually, the story's not about this, but just to show you, he lusts after Tamar, devises a weird plan, says he's sick, but let's send Tamar in so she can feed me by her hand or whatever. And anyway, he takes advantage of her, enough said about that. Absalom learns of this. Absalom learns because Tamar comes and comes to Absalom and tells him and that. So Absalom learns of what's happened here. He is very rightfully angry here at his half-brother. And it says that he takes, if we look at the story a little further, it says he takes Tamar into his house, and for 2 years, 2 years here, it says that Tamar lives with him for 2 years. Absalom doesn't do anything, but I think it just keeps building and building and building, looking for that opportunity to avenge Tamar and to take vengeance on his brother. So for 2 years, this rage keeps building against his brother here. And so he devises a plan. So now, yeah, as much of a plan as, if we remember, plans that David did as well. And now Amnon seems to be a planner. And now here, Absalom has a plan as well. And so, at the time, it says, so there was this time of sheep shearing. And apparently that was a big thing, when, the sheep would, you know, the wool would come on, and it would be quite the thing for a sheep shearing party or whatever. And so Absalom asked, and David knows too. Don't get this wrong here. David knows what Amnon has done. He doesn't punish him. That's important here. And so he doesn't punish him. So Absalom, I mean, he knows that there's rage between Absalom and Amnon. And but Absalom comes and asks David, hey, you know, allow Amnon to come to the sheep shearing here. And he says, I don't think it's a good idea. But he allows him anyway. And so Absalom talks to his men there, and at this time of the sheep shearing, when Absalom was asking his father David, I think the Bible says that he pressed him or kept asking or kept insisting that Amnon be allowed to come. So he did. Absalom tells his men, apparently after the sheep shearing, there's a big feast of this. He said, when Amnon has taken full, so to speak, and he's in a merry mood, then you guys take care of Amnon. And they do. And they kill David's men, Absalom's men, kills Amnon. And then news gets back. For the next 3 years, Absalom kind of lives, he kind of runs too, and Absalom runs to this place called Geshur. Now, if you remember in our Sunday school, that area has come up in the book of Nehemiah as well, that region of Gershur. But here it is, after Absalom has his brother killed, or he's, he orchestrates this here, the news carried back to David, Amnon is dead, and even the news says, and all the king's sons are dead. And they said, oh, wait a minute. No, only Amnon is dead. And all the other ones kind of went away. David is so wrought, he tears his clothes, and he's very distraught over this. And it seems like he's more distraught over what Absalom did than the loss of his son Amnon here. And, but again, David has punished Amnon for the previous offense. And here he doesn't punish Absalom for this offense here. So for several years, Absalom is away in this land of Gershur here. In chapters 14, 25 and 26, if you want to find that there, in chapters 14, the 25 and 26 of 2 Samuel, 25 and 26. Now, I said that earlier, that it made a point to tell us that Tamar was very beautiful. Now let's look at Absalom here. In 25 and 26 there, and it says, in all of Israel, there was none to be much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he pulled his head, for it was every year, at the end of the year he pulled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he pulled it, and he weighed the hair on the head at 200 shekels of the king's weight. Now, somebody tell me, if you have another thing, what does it say, pulled his hair? Anything, they got something else? King James says pulled. What does it say there? 25 and 26. What's he do to his hair? Cuts it. In a sense, he cuts it, right? Cuts it off. And he pulls his hair. And I don't, any of you that, that work with hair, or hairdressers or cutters or things, how much hair would it take to weigh 5 pounds? That's a lot of hair, in my mind. I mean, it would take me a long time, right? I won't get that old, right? To get 5 pounds of excess hair that he's cut off, right? This is excess hair that he's cut off. And apparently, I'm looking at, and the way I kind of read this, that this popularity, in the popularity spoken of about Absalom, goes to his head. If you want to say a play on words there. That Absalom, I think, is eating it up. Absalom seems to be a very vain person, and taking a lot with, and he's gaining in popularity. People are saying it. None is greater, no more beautiful than him or handsome than him. From head, from the sole of his foot to the top of his head. I don't know if he was a fop guy or he was a Dapper Dan guy. Or maybe nothing, but, I don't know what kind of hair products he would have used, Miracle Grow or something that he reads here. So, he gains in popularity. And go back in verse 13, or chapter 13 a second. Chapter 13. We just read that in 14 there. I printed it twice there. So it says, 200 shekel weights. And so I looked it up. So how much does a shekel weigh? And about, if you had it there, 200 shekels, how much, 1 shekel weigh? About 5 pounds. A lot of hair tonic there. To be able to cut that off. Absalom wants, this popularity, I think, goes to his head. He wants his father's throne. And so he's away, and David says, I don't even want to see you. Okay, so I said he doesn't really punish him, but he also doesn't want to see him. And so Absalom is away, and so in his heart, he wants the throne. He's going to go out on a limb for it, so to speak. Absalom is going out on a limb for his father's throne here, and it's turning bitter in his heart there. And he plans a battle against his father's army. And I'm looking at this, and I'm kind of reading this in chapters in 2 Samuel 15:7, because it said after 40 years. So I don't know if the Tamar incident was closer to the beginning of David's, closer to the beginning of his reign. But it says, and after 40 years, towards that Absalom, or maybe in the 40th year or something like that, that Absalom devises this, and he asks the king, his father, to let him come back to Jerusalem, and to let him come back. And he will serve him as the king. Absalom asks, I'll do that. David lets him come back at this point. And as soon as he gets back, it seems like, Absalom sends spies out to kind of, you know, and almost to get a popularity thing going on. And maybe I've called it here the whisper campaign, that Absalom is getting the people, Absalom goes out, and, you know, he says, Absalom is king over Hebron. And just kind of spreading that. Was Absalom king over Hebron? No. But people are saying that. And he's got people going out doing that. And again, I think it's gone to his head. He's going to go out on a limb for this. He's trying to take the throne from his father here. So in the battle, there's going to be a battle come up, and there's some backstories of Joab in here as well. There's a chapter or two in there about Joab, but I can see, and it talks about Absalom riding into battle on his mule. And I can just see him going, you know, as he's going, and you don't get the effect with me. I'm going to need my tree back up here. I'm sorry. I'm going to need my tree back up here. Because if it talks about it there, it said that he has, you know, his long hair, and it says that the boughs of the wood, you know, in the woods of Ephraim is where this battle is going to take on. So yeah, let's do it the other way. Hand here, yeah, arm out there, you know, our big limb out there. And it seems like, you know, here comes Absalom. He's going to ride under, there we go, ride under that. You don't get the effect with me. Jayla, can you come up here for us, please? There you go. Another volunteer, Jayla. Yay! Okay, so, Jayla, you are Absalom. Now, I'm not confused here. This is just a prop, okay? So ride your mule underneath the boughs of the oak, and your hair gets caught. Hold on. Don't let go. Okay. Okay. Now, and don't hurt her. She's my granddaughter. Okay. Okay. So, Absalom rides under the boughs of the oak in this battle. Hair gets caught up, it says, and the mule just keeps on going. And it says he's hanging there between heaven and earth. I think the verses say there, between heaven and earth, that Absalom is hanging there, and he can't get out. Try to get out. No, okay, try to get out. Okay, so if you were going into battle, what might you take with you? If you didn't have your bow, spear, you might have a dagger or something like that, right? I got my knife right here. Okay, so Absalom, take your knife and cut yourself loose. Go ahead, right now. We are in a time crunch here, so you're not, okay, all right. All right. So what are we going out on a limb for, holding on to so tightly that we won't cut loose of it? In Absalom's case here, it seems like, hey, this hair thing is got me a lot of popularity. I'm not cutting it loose. Now that's got to be some powerful hair. And I don't know. I'm sure his arms are up there somewhere. He's holding on there, and he's just hanging there. He's just hanging around. He's hanging out there. And so one of Joab's men, don't let her go. She's still trying to get out. Okay, so one of Joab's men apparently see this, and they go and tell Joab. Joab tells his guy, he says, go kill him. And I like the thing there. It kind of goes back to even when David here, the servant here, says, I will not stretch forth my hand against the king's son. Remember, David had that opportunity with Saul, and he says, I'm not going to put my hand against the king's anointed or the Lord's anointed. Absalom is lying, you know, could be in line to the throne, but he's holding on so tightly to something in his life that he won't let it go. How about us in our lives as well? You know, there are things that we won't, vanity, pride, whatever, we won't let go of for the cause of Christ here. So Joab then says, okay, I'll do it. Takes three darts and boom. Puts it in his heart, and then the rest of Joab's men finish the job for him. And I don't know what they did with the hair. Okay, you can let go there. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I'm done with that there. Give them both a good hand again. Okay, so again, the point is what are we not willing to part with that keeps us entangled? And so in this case, Absalom went out on a limb for that. He got caught up, and he wouldn't cut loose of things. So Absalom, and it says there that they buried him in a pit, and then they put a bunch of rocks over him in there, and David finds out about it. They go back, and again, this news of Absalom keeps coming back to Abner. David's not in the battle, but his army, Joab, is led there with him. So, and here it is. David is so wrought over his son. And what's he say in 2 Samuel 18:33? I want you to look at that. 2 Samuel 18:33. Powerful verse here. 18:33 of 2 Samuel. And the king was so moved, he went to his chambers over the gate and wept. And as he went, he thus said, my son Absalom, would that God that I had died for you. And we got a heavenly father that even if we become wayward children, was willing to send his son to come and die for us as well. Absalom was a man of privilege. You just look at some of these things. Absalom was a man of privilege. He was a king's son. He had royal blood in his line. He was he didn't consider the privileges that he had, and he squandered it. I would say if we would throw any word at Absalom, I would say squandered would be a good word here. He squandered everything that he had. He squandered his privilege. He squandered his blessings. He was handsome, beautiful, privileged, loved by his father there. But he walked away from it all. And, there's many things, that money, power, people's praise. What do we turn our back on some of these things in our life as well? He was a man of privilege. He ignored his blessings. He ignored his birthright there. He was a son of a king. He was in line, really, for the throne, but he wanted to find it his way. So we looked at a man out on a limb named Absalom. Let's look at another one here. Judas. Judas found himself, in a sense, out on a limb himself. Now we know the story of Judas here. He was asked of God to follow him. Judas was, in a sense, Judas was out on a limb at the end of his life. We want to say it that way. But we just think of the things that Judas saw and ultimately rejected the hand of God. He would have been, he rejected the call. Yes, he was following him here, but he was, he probably heard many things. He probably heard, you know, what in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he heard, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He heard, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Judas would have been right there to hear that. Judas was one of the 12. He had heard, he was there when the news came to Jesus that Lazarus was dead. And he would have seen Jesus probably weep there for Lazarus. He saw the compassion that Jesus had when he went to Lazarus. He watched Lazarus walk out of the tomb there. And just imagine, you know, and maybe Judas, it seems like Judas was in the boat that night when the tempest raged on the sea and they were rowing all night trying to get somewhere, and Jesus comes walking out on the water to him there. He sees all that. But Judas rejected it all. He turns away from God. He turns, he rejects the call. He goes out on a limb on his own here. And Judas seems like, you know, I'd say it like this. Judas seems like many that today who for years can sit right beside the Word. And, you know, Judas could sit right beside the Word of God who was made flesh. He heard the words of Jesus. He saw the miracles, enjoyed the blessings that came to him. And yet, for 30 pieces of silver, rejected it all. Thought that that was all that he would need at this point. You know, I can only imagine after he left the room, that upper room that night as Judas leaves, and all the events then of the garden, and then as Judas then sees all that takes place in the trials, all that takes place in the crucifixion, all that takes place there, Judas found himself rejected and alone out there on a limb. He had ventured out there and then found himself in a very precarious situation there. And we know the story. He just found himself hanging around out there. And because he was so wrought over the decisions that he had made that didn't end well, and it doesn't end well for rejecting Christ in our life, right? I mean, that's what the Bible's here to tell us. It gives us these things to show us, and here we had Absalom who, you know, went out, squandered all those blessings, went out on a limb, didn't end well for him. Here's Judas who had all the blessings and privileges that could have been around and yet rejects the call of Christ. And then we're going to look at one more guy here. Let's consider a man who purposely now went out on a limb for Christ. And you know who I'm talking about. We could want you to turn to Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke 19, first 10 verses there tell us of a man named Zacchaeus who purposely went out on a limb for Christ. We could say it like that, right? Zacchaeus we know the story here. We had heard that Jesus was coming to Jericho. Jericho and Jerusalem weren't that far apart here. He had heard that Jesus was coming, and he wanted to see him. He wanted to get close to Christ, and it does tell us there about a little bit about Zacchaeus. It says he was a tax collector. Probably not the most well-known or not the most liked person in town. Every April, we got to pay more, we do that. So we don't always like it ourselves here. But here in those days, like Matthew, Zacchaeus would have not been that popular. It says also another thing about Zacchaeus was, though, that he was short. And so that he knew that Jesus was coming, so he had a desire to see Jesus. Now, getting closer to Christ is worth going out on a limb for, if we want to say it like that. We know the story. Zacchaeus even gets a song written about him, the little kids sing it. In that, but the Bible tells us that he was a short man, but obstacles should not stop us from getting nearer to God in our life. Could we take a little lesson here from Zacchaeus as we're looking at this? Put yourself in a position. Zacchaeus went out on a limb, putting himself in a position for Christ. Even if that means going out on a limb when others seem to be standing in your way. Apparently he tried to get closer to the street, but couldn't. And so he found a way, and he found a sycamore tree. Is it really sycamore, or should we call it sycamore tree? I don't know. But it says that he went up on a sycamore tree to see Jesus there. Jesus does that. He climbs up the tree there. We don't know for sure, but maybe he went out on a limb there so that he could be noticed by Christ. That he could, one, notice Christ, and this passion that he has is noticed by Christ himself. In Luke 19:5, Jesus notices him, there's words or phrases in the Bible here that really ought to make what little hair I have stand on my head. It says, when Jesus reached the spot. Is this just by coinkydink that Jesus was going to be there and be at that spot so that Zacchaeus? No. We know this so many times in the Bible that Jesus had a plan and knew these things. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, that Zacchaeus could see him. And, I want to say here, the spot where he can see him and be noticed of God here, we need to be where we need to be, so to speak. And so we can gain the blessings by it. Jesus gives Zacchaeus a direct call here. What's he say? Zacchaeus? You know the song, right? Come down. You come down. He says, because I'm going to your house today. And John 6:44, we're told, no man. Now, and I put in the words here, or woman here, because this call is, the call of Christ is universal. No man, no woman can come unto me except the Father has sent him to draw him. And I will raise him up in the last day. We also know those verses where it said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The gospel call drastically changes Zacchaeus' life here, right? Because he is willing to, what's it say there? That after Jesus has called him down, Zacchaeus says, I'll repay anybody. And I like the little word if. If I have wronged somebody, I'm going to repay it fourfold. Now that would be a big change in your life, right? If I've, money changers, tax collectors, again, the reputation wasn't as great there, but Zacchaeus says, I'm going to repay it fourfold. Even put yourself, so we're saying to this morning here, like Zacchaeus here, put yourself out on a limb for Christ. It's not, you know, we said before, you know, there's times when we could crawl out on a limb and be lonely out there. But I think if we're going out on a limb for Christ, we're not lonely because Jesus is a friend that's going to be there with us out there. What's he get? Zacchaeus was given assurance that today, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house. In verse 10 of Luke 19. This was the purpose, and he says, what's the purpose for this? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The statement is still relevant 2,000 plus years ago. As it was 2,000 years, it's just the same today. He is still and willing, still able and willing to save and bring salvation to your house. Meaning himself and others here. So here's the thing, like Zacchaeus. Don't let Jesus just pass by without accepting the invitation. We looked at three men today that were out on a limb. We saw, three men that were out on, we don't want to let pride, position or popularity get us caught up and leave us hanging like Absalom. We don't want to reject the goodness of God, and think that we know better like Judas. But the best way here, I think, is to go out on a limb for Jesus, even if those around you don't. It's too important not to let Jesus pass by. And if Jesus does pass by, it's not the Savior's fault. It's our fault for not being in the right spot, making that right decision, and answering the call here. This plan that Jesus has given to us here, he wants us to go out on a limb for him, I think. And that's how I look at it. He wants us to go out on a limb for him. He's given us a plan to hear his word, to believe it in our lives, right? And to turn away from sin and turn towards Christ. He wants us to confess him before others and make that confession and let other people know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be immersed into Christ for remission of sins. And receive that gift of the Holy Spirit that's promised us there through his word. And live that faithful life. And that's not the easiest part. That's a part that's going to take work. There's no doubt about it. But like Zacchaeus there, salvation has come to his house. So if you have that need today, please don't let Jesus pass by.
Let's all stand together. Jesus.